And then afterwards, when you get married, nobody cares.
Yeah.
I no no yeah. And like that, I mean that in like the nicest way, because mm-hmm. people are like, oh yeah, they committed and like they're together forever now, mm-hmm. like happily ever after. Movie ends. Yeah. No, you have to like stay in the engagement period.
That is so true.
Forever. You get gifts.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
You get drinks bought for you. Oh, like
hell yeah.
Listen, like I'm not saying like get on the engagement grift.
No. Yeah.
But there is a good grift though. There is a good grift.
There is a grift to be had.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Woo-hoo. We are riding down the River Rapids today. Joining me in the front of the canoe is the tried and true Cosmo from the Cosmo Network.
How you doing, Jay?
You know, it's late for me. We usually never film this late, but I'm feeling zen.
Zen?
I'm feeling good. I'm ready to ride the rapids.
Nice.
What about you? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling jacked up and good to go. Yeah.
Jacked up?
Yeah.
Dang.
Let's do this. Yeah. Yep.
Joining us today, who's also jacked up. Maybe not, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Genevieve Marie! I'm like a wrestler now.
Late
I don't know
night
why.
Canoe ride with Genevieve Marie.
Let's go. Remember when I said this is going to be relaxing? And then I was just like, wrestling.
I have hot tea next to me. Like, it started off so, like, calm and collected.
See, that's how the river is.
You know, it fools you.
It's a nice little, you know, when you're in a canoe, you're relaxing, right, enjoying the scenic route, and all of a sudden here comes the white rider raptors, right?
It's
and
it's literally like Pocahontas, where you got like the river, like the fork in the river, and then all of a sudden Cosmo just decided, We're going to the rapids. You chose this for us.
I did.
You said ripped, you know?
Yep.
You're jacked. That's
jacked
a plus.
Up and good to go. I got that from an old game called StarCraft.
Oh.
And like, if you play the Terran and you like, you know, you're building your stuff and the guy goes, jacked up and good to go. So, yeah. It's a deep dive.
Let us know in the comments if you know what he's talking about. Let us know if you don't know, because I certainly didn't know.
StarCraft, old school.
Oh. Well, thank you so much, Genevieve, for joining us.
Well, you are so welcome.
I'm so excited
you're
here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. I did a little bit of, like, deep diving on you, because, like, I've known you for, like, a couple years now, but, like, not quite intimately. Like, we're always kind of, like, in passing.
Ships in the night. Canoes in the night.
Truly canoes in the night. And that's such the cosplayer way, where it's like,
I'm trying to make more friends. I swear to God, I'm really trying hard, but everybody's just like, yeah, let's do something. And then it's just like, no one ever commits.
Yeah, really? That's what happens with your friends?
And then, well, not like my friends, but people that I'm trying to like bring into the fold.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, and you like get right up into the point of like committing to a date, mm-hmm, and then it just all falls spectacularly apart, and you're like, ah, well, and maybe sometime. But then you always end up grabbing a drink with them at like a convention or something,
yes,
and you're, and then after the drink, and you're all like drunk, you're like, yeah, let's do something soon, buddy.
Exactly,
and you never do.
Oh no!
Yeah, it's like, hey man, I've been having this problem lately. It's like, oh my God, Jesus Christ, we gotta make a time for the show. I want to have you on the show. But I was like, cool. It's like, yeah, after the con and we calm down, but now I'll book a date and blah blah blah, and I forget about it, and then I'm just remembering like five of them right
oh,
now.
Oh no!
Like, I should be contacting.
Whips out your phone. You're like,
so honest. The best way to actually get people to do things with you is get engaged. But that's the thing, is like, once I got engaged, once Morgana and I got engaged, we're doing all of these like double dates and like, let's celebrate your engagement. Aww. And oh my, there's like an actual like thing to celebrate and thing to like bring people together, which is obviously the engagement. And so that's how I've just been like, you have to come and hang out with me. I'm getting married.
That is amazing advice. Y'all heard it here first. Get engaged.
Also, my best engagement advice to anybody out there who either is engaged, wants to get engaged, don't ever like actually commit to the wedding. Mm-hmm. Like, get, if you have to get married behind the scenes, like go to the justice of the peace and like get married like legally but secretly, because nobody's ever going to care as much about you and your partner as they do when you're in the engagement like portion of your life. Yeah. You are the most celebrated. Like everybody's like, oh my god, so like what about the wedding? When is the wedding? What's the theme? Like what are the outfits? Yeah. Is it two dresses? Is it two tuxedos?
Ooh!
And you're like, oh my gosh. And then like
afterwards it's done.
And then afterwards when you get married, nobody cares.
Yeah.
No. And like that, I mean that in like the nicest way, because people are like, oh yeah, they committed and like they're together forever now. Mm. Like happily ever after, movie ends. Yeah. No, you have to like stay in the engagement period.
That is so true.
Forever. You get gifts.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
You get drinks bought for you.
Oh, like, hell yeah.
Listen, like I'm not saying like get on the engagement grift.
No. Yeah.
But there is a good grift though. There is a good grift.
There is a grift to be had.
What, when you stage it in a restaurant or a bar?
When you stage
when you
it?
When you propose.
Yeah.
You know, you just like have a whole thing went down, oh, and everyone's like, "Yeah, let's get the newlyweds or the new engagement on the drink and buy a beer." And then you just go to another bar, another restaurant later on.
Do
like,
it again.
Didn't
even think about it. You're like I would 3D chess. You're like 4D chess.
Oh, there's one more.
Oh, give it to me. Okay.
You go out to, this got to be a friend that you like. You just won't speak to anymore, but like he's like one of those one friends that's just like, "Yeah, let's hang out." And or a couple, even a couple.
Okay, so you I'm go going them, down my you, address book right now.
You're like, who
I'm
can I find?
Yeah. Name.
You go with them in the restaurant, right? Mm-hmm. And this is how you do it. This sucks. I can't believe I'm giving this away. But basically, you're both sitting there, right? Mm-hmm. You're right. And as the guy or the girl or whoever it is, right? Let's say you and I go, right?
Okay,
we're a couple, right?
Right.
We have another friend. We're going to eat with. Our friend does something where it's like, oh, there's something on her, and I just like I take my napkin and I rub it on her face, like, oh, I got you. Oh. You get pissed off.
And we get the
you
bite.
Walk away, and I'm like, I'll be right back. Let me go get her. We both walk away. That person's stuck with a bill.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god.
Don't do that for anything less than Din Tai Fung.
Exactly.
With drinks.
I'm talking about like one of those fancy smancies, like Beverly Hills kind of thing. You know?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, oh, that's, and everybody's dressed up.
Yes.
That's diabolical.
Especially if the person you know talks shit behind your back, but is friends in front of your face.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody tells you, you just like, all right, here's the ultimate sting.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I have the person in my mind, but I would never do it.
Like, I'm a coward.
I'm sorry. I'm a coward.
I could never.
Oh, man. But the engagement in the bar is
I would passively.
One.
Yeah. I would passively collect the accolades. That's what I'm doing currently. Mm-hmm, it's just like, thank you. Like, oh, you didn't have to. You were so nice. But you take it anyway.
Of course.
It's the Disney, like, no. Thank you.
Wait, do they have the three no's?
They do.
And then the fourth yes? Okay,
correct. Yes.
There are some things that are still there.
They're still, yeah. No. Oh, thank you. But you say them as fast as you can. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
No. Thank you.
Oh, yep. Thanks. Mm-hmm. I know. I don't think I even do that anymore.
We're dishing it out.
Sometimes people will give you like the nicest handmade stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And.
Wait, you have to say no to that?
And. What do you think? Are you kidding? You've worked for the company before. What do you think?
So, wait.
But I never do. I just take it. I'm like, thank you so much. Because, like, it just is rude to say no. Like, sometimes I'll get some things and people will, like, I have gotten, like, chalk drawings, like, professional chalk drawings of, like, certain, like, characters. Or, like, I've gotten, like, needlepoint works or, you know, like, really cute handmade things that, like, obviously took, like, a lot of time and effort. And I would never tell somebody, like, oh, no, I can't.
That's insulting to an artist.
I respect that person's time and effort and love. And I'm just going to say yes. And if I get in trouble for it afterwards, it's just like, I just forgot, dude. I'm sorry. Like, you know me.
That's wild.
You just have to play it cool. Like,
yeah.
With the people behind the scenes. Because you can get away with a lot. Especially if you act dumb.
Yeah.
I'm really good at putting on the face.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. my bad. I didn't know. Like, and they know you know that.
Love it.
They know that you know.
Yeah.
But they're also just like, well, that's what she said. And like on paperwork.
Done.
So anyway, yeah.
That's crazy. Cause like cause I used to work in Orlando and you obviously work in LA. So it's like they're two very different. They're the same, but they're different. Just, you know.
Correct.
But yeah. Like we used to, like anytime somebody brought us like artwork or things that weren't of like monetary value, we could keep those and wouldn't have to do the no rule. But if right. it was like food, like sealed chocolate, like because I used to get chocolate a lot, chocolate we had to say no to, food, anything you could eat, or anything of like monetary, like if they bought something in the park.
Oh, if they bought something, yes.
Then you'd have to do the three no's and then the, yeah.
Correct. I actually think that you're probably right on that. It's just been so long since somebody has thrown the book at me.
Same.
That I, you know, like sometimes you just get in the... In the groove of just like doing the job and like nobody really comes to you about it and like
only
it's
when
just,
you
like,
mess up
only when you mess up and only when they catch you messing up. That's the thing. It's like it's such a huge like park and company and it's just like you could go years like doing something wrong and then somebody's just like, so why'd you do that? And you're like, I don't know, I've been doing it for the last however many whatevers.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, well, that's our fault for not catching that. Just don't do it again.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, they were fast on the write-ups. They were fast.
It just depends. I honestly think it depends. And this is so horrible to say. I think it depends on who you are. Mm-hmm. And if you have a rapport, like a good rapport with who you're working with. And, you know, sometimes, and I think it's kind of a different age, too, where, like, sometimes out of nowhere, like, they will bring the hammer down. But a lot of the times, like, our middle management understands, like, the type of world that we're living in and, like, how difficult it's been out there. And, like, sometimes they'll just be like, I don't know, bro, I don't want to. Like, do the paperwork, just don't do it again. Like, and don't do it in front of XYZ manager. Like, thank you.
You're like, thank you so much.
Like, have a magical day.
You just have yourself a magical day. You go out there, have a good time. Yeah. And like, I get that there are certain rules for certain reasons.
Oh, for sure. Like, absolutely.
I'm here for rules. I like them. They keep me safe. They keep people safe. Like, I get why some of them are there.
Right.
But boy, was I written up a lot. So.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I wasn't even a bad worker. Like, I showed up. I did all the right. But I worked in the age before social media, before they had, like, any real rules in the rule book. Like, it was a gray area. Mm. And so a lot of the times I was getting written up for things that weren't actually in writing. So, but I was so new. I was, like, barely 18, and I was just happy to be there. So I was like, okay, I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again.
Right. Also, like, I'm guessing, like, first job-ish, like, for working for a big company, maybe?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I worked for, like, the Hilton Hotels and, like, other things kind of like that. But, like, entertainment was so different because, like, you weren't allowed to, like, post pictures, talk about your job, that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I followed, like, their general rules where it's, like, back then, Instagram, you weren't allowed to have a photo of you and then a photo of, like, who you were friends with next to each other.
Correct.
And so, like, that was a big deal. But that rule didn't start being implemented till people got written up.
Okay.
So it wasn't officially like in the documentation. And I'm hoping now that they're a little bit more clear about that kind of stuff.
They're well, here's the thing is that on Disney Talent Casting, the website, we now list, I say we as in I have anything to do with this. The company now actually lists the characters that they're auditioning for. And it makes when they never used to do that. Mm. It always used to be like lookalike characters, like actors, female actors from 5'4 to 5'7, please show up, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then you'll show up. And I did this one time before I got hired with the company. I was still working with the company and I showed up and it was back when we were doing Aladdin the musical.
Oh my God, yes!
And I really wanted to be a part of the chorus. Yeah. And I was like, oh, they look like they have so much fun, and they get to do a whole bunch of like cool like singing and dancing parts, and it's just, it looked like something to like get my feet wet in, like with musical theater and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I show up like with my little headshot and my little like Prince Ali like chorus, you know, my musical, my music sheet. Mm-hmm. And I'm like sitting in the audition room like with like, I had to be a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
And then they're like, all right, so today we are auditioning for the role of Jasmine. And I'm like,
oh no.
And I'm like, oh no. And I like just put that under my, like under my shoulder. And no, I had, and it was my music I put under my shoulder, but I had already like turned in my headshot and my resume. And after they got done with all the announcements, I like gingerly step up mm-hmm. to the casting directors, and I take my resume and my headshot because they're expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
Those, they're really expensive to get printed, especially if you get them printed nicely. And I'm like, I'm not just going to give them one of these like headshots. I'm like, this thing was like $2. Like mm-hmm. they're like $2 a pop. And I like take it from the back and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I thought you were auditioning for the chorus. I'm just going to leave. And this was back when they had it at the Betty Mae Dance Studio. Oh. And I was driving up from San Diego.
Oh my gosh.
And so North Hollywood. And I'm like, I guess we're going to go to Melrose.
Oh yeah.
And that's what I did. I was there for maybe 15 minutes and then I left because I'm just like.
Did they say anything to you? Like, oh, just dancing anyways. Like, did they try to.
No.
Or were they like, bye.
They're like, okay, thank you. I mean, they had a couple hundred people to get through.
They didn't care.
Let's be so honest. And
yeah.
The thing is like, I'm just like, I just don't like feel comfortable like staying, like, and that's the thing, I'm like, I'm also not looking to have like, despite like every, despite the optics of it, mm-hmm. like I also didn't want a lead role.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
that's not what you're aiming for,
and it's not what I would have ever have gotten either. I'm like, I like, I'm not lead role material mm-hmm. for like for musical theater mm-hmm. like okay. on that level
for sure.
Okay. Like, because I do like straight plays and like straight theater, like mostly.
Oh, okay.
Like that's what I've been trained in.
Yeah.
And so it would have been like one of my first gigs. And I'm like, I just wanted to dip my toe in, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I'm oh, thank you.
Dang, that's so confusing that like you showed up and then.
So yeah, now they actually like list the character roles on there. I'm like, well, thank God, because like I'm tired of mm-hmm. like, I'm tired of people showing up and then like having them like obviously not fit the look mm-hmm. and like, and then having to like leave, you know, like it's always, I always felt bad for like the, like either the Tinkerbell hype people or mm-hmm. you know, you get people who are coming in for Tiana because she was like one of the only POCs that we had at yeah. the time. When, you know, back when I was auditioning.
Right.
And
right.
then they're announcing like who they are auditioning for, and you see like all these people and they're like, and now I gotta go. And I'm like, you had these people mm-hmm. come here and waste their time and waste their gas, and like, I know what we make.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know what we make.
It's not
like,
$1 million.
I'm like, this was just cruelty. Mm-hmm. So they've changed that up, which is
see,
nice.
When I was going towards the end, they would say which ones they were particularly looking for, but then they would pull completely different than what they were looking for.
So
that would, was always confusing.
So they would do that because they'll put you in a file for later. Mm-hmm. If they wanted okay. to pull up your file and like call you in. For, like, technically to skip the, like, the cattle call.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah, because I've been put in that folder before for things that I'm just, like, you're never going to cast for this ever again because, like, you're going to pull this character off of campus or whatever. And I'm just, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
when you
database.
Know. Yeah. When you know that certain characters are not going to last or they're just seasonal and you're just, like, well, thank you for pulling me for the thing, but. Like
yeah.
you know
yeah.
It's a whole like it's a whole web
yeah.
of like having to, you're almost learning like a different language or a different culture when you join Disney and when you join the family.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Especially entertainment. Yeah.
That reminds me of an audition that I had, and like my friend was an agent at the time. He's like, dude, this is totally you. Mm-hmm. The description of this character as far as sci-fi channel thing. They want somebody that's tall, that's mixed, is able to wear contacts, facial hair, tattoos, and has like a Jane, like do the Jane personality. Mm-hmm. You know, like just brooding, runt, kind of stupid, but dumb, and but also rude, whatever. I was like, oh yeah, sweet. Go there. There was a bunch of people that looked like me.
Was everybody else white?
No, well, there was a lot, yes.
Yeah, I figured.
There was a lot. But then there was this one guy. The guy that got it. The guy that got it. He was shorter. He was darker.
Oh.
Bald-headed, no facial hair, no tattoos, no nothing like that.
Oh, man.
Luckily enough, the thing had like a pilot and it got canceled right away, so. But still.
So you got your revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you won in the end? Is that what I mean?
I kind of, but I'm just like, really? You went with that guy? Like, why? Why? Why did you?
Right.
It's not the same as that, but it's like.
So I do commercial work, and famously, I think commercial auditions are probably the worst auditions that you could ever possibly put yourself through. Because first, the actions and the dialogue, like, are some of the most, like, inhuman things. It's almost like being an alien putting on a person suit.
Yes.
And then trying to, like, adapt to human society with no information. And that's kind of what a commercial script is, or, you know, the side that they give you, or the copy. And so not only do you have, like, the crappiest copy, but the casting directors, and I mean this with like all the love in my heart, they don't actually know what they're looking for.
Yep.
Until that person, and it might just be the short darker,
bald guy
with no tattoos who shows up. And they're like, you know what? Maybe we weren't looking for a tall, mixed man who can wear contacts and have tattoos. Maybe we were looking for, you know, Black Gimli the whole time.
That guy was short. He looked like a.
He looked like a short.
He looked like a short Tay Diggs. Okay.
It's giving the Marcus like short, bald. Short.
I understand that. Like for instance, Hugh Jackman's a tall guy, but Wolverine is small.
He's very small.
Wolverine
is Hugh
short.
Jackman tall? How tall is Hugh Jackman?
He's 6'6". Five. He's tall.
I'm like, you said 6'6". That's a
monster. He was walking around San Diego Comic-Con one day, and me and him started like eye level. So he was pretty tall. He was just walking around Comic-Con and like dressed. People were just like, that's a nice Wolverine cosplay. But it was actually him.
That's him.
Thing is like, And you understand it, like, they especially back in the early 2000s when that came out? Or was it the late 90s?
It was the early 2000s.
Or the early 2000s. Yeah. And back then, they were never going to hire a short man play that action role. I mean, you know, they were never going to do it.
Everybody in the 90s had their pick on who could do it. Like, you know, Glenn Danzig would have been a great pick for that. He's short, he's buff, muscular, he's hairy. He's got the right attitude for Wolverine, but it's like, he's not an actor. He was a musician, but trying to find someone to fit that role, that it's kind of like you have a casting call. It's like, this is what I want. So you want Wolverine, but I need to look like Glenn Danzig.
We need to sell, like, they need to find the commercialized version of whatever character they're trying to bring to life. And like I said, a lot of the times, those casting calls will be like, this is what I think that I want. Yes. But what casting directors think that they want is oftentimes never what they actually initially go for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
for the better or worse. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's inspired and sometimes
has a way of just like, no, you're not great for this role, but we're not picking you for something else. Mm-hmm. Like Chris Pratt auditioned for Captain America, didn't get it. Like we were talking on a couple episodes ago, it's like Tom Hiddleston went for Thor. Didn't get it, but they're like, you're not right for this character, but we have a character in mind for you, so they put him to the side.
Disney does that too. Idina sang for Rapunzel, and then they kept her for Elsa, Frozen. So it's like, I think they, Yeah, I think
much better choice on their part. Yeah. Much better choice on their part.
Kristen,
I mean, obviously, they're still making hand over fist millions and millions every year on that franchise.
But they act like they don't know what they're doing lately. It's like, what are you guys doing with the films?
Yeah, I don't know. I've lost a lot of, like, confidence in our studios.
Yeah. I mean, K-pop Demon Hunter, congrats on your double Golden Globes, because they, they're killing it right now.
Sony Animation is,
they're killing it.
Yeah.
The Into the Spider-Verse and the second one is just phenomenal. And what they, it's almost the same thing what they did with K-pop. It has the same animation, but totally different. And it's original. K-pop is, like, even though it's a thing, it's K-pop is a... It's a music thing. It's just such an original idea to mix the lore with, like, demons and stuff like that. And it's awesome. It's great.
Yeah. The studio takes risks on artists that are just, you know, inspired. Yeah. You know, they're, I don't know. Disney doesn't take risks anymore. And then when they do, they don't advertise when they do.
No. They kind of hide
it. It's cash cows. And they're looking for cash cows. Like, look at another Toy Story. Like, I understand Toy Story is...
Toy Story 11? Yeah.
Toy Story 5, but it has to deal with, like, toys versus, was it, technology?
The iPads, yeah.
So that's kind of funny, but other than that, it's like, dude, you should have stopped.
It could have been a short.
Yeah, it could have been
a short. Yeah.
Wait, is it out already?
I don't know.
This year's a ton of movies coming out this year.
Yeah, I saw that.
Ton.
It's a lot.
A lot. There's some I want to see, but I'm like, ugh. It's too many.
Too
many movies.
Because they didn't advertise Strange World, Elio, Elemental, which...
Yep. Yeah, like, what are... I've never seen any of these.
Elemental is really, really good. Soul was another one.
Yep. I've heard Soul is fantastic. I think that was, like,
one of the beginning movies, because it came out after Inside Out. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the first movies that they decided that they just weren't going to advertise for some reason. And I don't know why. I mean, the advertisement budgets are usually either, like, the exact same amount that the film costs to make, usually.
Wasn't there another one that was recently coming out with, like, a red panda or some kind of, like, bear? Something like that.
The Turning Red? Turning Red actually, like, was a hit. Uh-huh. But it was the first hit that they had on Disney Plus. I don't think they had it in theaters.
No.
It didn't hit the theaters. It hit Disney Plus, and then a lot of people were just like, what is this Turning Red? And then they, you know, they started watching it, and then the word got out organically, and that's why it was a big hit. And I think maybe they're like, what if we just didn't advertise anything anymore?
That's what happened to K-pop. K-pop was a word of mouth. Like,
yeah,
everyone talked about it. And there was no advertisement whatsoever for
that. There really wasn't.
Yeah.
And that thing was a hit. It was a sleeper, man.
I mean, the advertisement for that. But, like, if you have Netflix, and this is the difference. Like, if you have Netflix, you go on to Netflix, you know, you just click right in, and they are able to put, like, their newest, latest thing on the front of the menu, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the first thing to pop. That is their advertisement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, Disney Plus, they're more banking on the fact that you want Disney Plus so that you can watch Disney classics, so you can watch Star Wars stuff, so you can, you know, Marvel, this, that, and the other thing. Like, it's all IP-based, and it's IP-based on stuff that we have nostalgia for, and it's not a really good, like, it's not a really good place to do advertising, whereas Netflix is just like, bam, look at this new thing we have, bam, like, look at our top 10, like, this is what we have trending now, and it kind of is set up better to generate buzz. Not exactly my favorite way, or I think it's the best way to do it.
Yeah, but it's working.
And I just don't think that Disney is set up to have that type of organic advertising built in, because they still have things dropping at the box office.
Yeah.
You know, they still have theatrical releases, is what I'm meaning to say.
Live action, though. Live action of everything else already done, you know?
Yeah, I don't kind of understand why they keep doing the live action stuff, because it's costing them more money.
Yeah.
And, like, the people have kind of I mean, from what I see, because my FYP might be catered to, like, somebody who didn't go. I mean, I saw Aladdin. I didn't see Jungle Book. I didn't see Lion King. It's like I kind of saw one live action and was like, oh, this is okay. But, like, you know, it doesn't make me, like, want to watch the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And then they did The Little Mermaid, which I – that one I meant to go see, and I just didn't for some reason. And now they're doing Moana. They're doing Hercules, yeah. Tangled. Right. It's like it's just a strange choice when they're seeing, at least last I looked at the numbers, that they're not, like – they're not taking off. People aren't, like, elated to see the live right. action. So I'm kind of confused.
They're not hitting in the U.S. I actually don't know what the overseas numbers are on those. If they recoup that value from overseas views. Because a lot of the times that's why things don't necessarily hit here. Like, they still continue to make them. Mm-hmm. But the problem with doing that with an American company that has all, like, most of their, like, social stock mm-hmm. with an American audience, like, you start to lose, like, brand prestige. Mm-hmm. You start to lose the trust of people who, like, were diehard Disney fans. You start to lose trust with people who, like, consider your product to be superior to other products. Mm-hmm. And they are going other places. Like, they're going to watch Sony Animation Studios. They're going to watch DreamWorks products. And they're like, this stuff is as good, if not better, than what Disney's putting out right now. So why am I going to give my hard-earned dollars mm-hmm. to a company just because I have nostalgia for them? It only works for so long. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the times I think Disney reaches for the money that's the closest to them instead mm-hmm. of playing the long game yeah. and putting trust in their actual products and in their films. Like, and I hate calling them products, but that's what they call them.
Yeah.
Like,
they're
I would rather call them projects mm-hmm. rather than a product. But we're trained now to call them products, you know, because at the end of the day, it's not about the film. It's about the lunch boxes mm-hmm. and the
popcorn buckets.
And the popcorn buckets.
Oh,
it's
my
not...
God. The, right. What? Where did, who invented the popcorn bucket?
Because nobody, you know what?
I don't get it.
Because popcorn sales weren't fucking hitting. You know,
really?
Like, you go get a small popcorn. Like, there's a lot of people. Like, they will go and get the nachos. They will go get the hot dog. They'll go get the personal pan pizza.
The nachos sound good,
but like the popcorn is like it's like the original thing of a movie theater,
right?
And sells like no one's gonna get the big tub. They're gonna get the small individual one. Mm-hmm. I know, like sometimes when I go with my friends, we get the big tub, but like I only have like a couple handfuls, and I'm like I'm done.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot left over, but if you put something collectible with that, you're mm-hmm. gonna want to buy. You pay the price for the big tub, and you get to take home a head of something.
A head. Of a character from the movie.
You get to take home the decapitated head of your beloved favorite character.
Like, I went to go see Badlands at the Regal Cinema, and Regal Cinema doesn't do this, but they started doing it with, like, a popcorn ship thing with an action figure of the Predator. And then I saw a Tron Cycle one for Tron Ares. I was like, this is a lot.
Honestly, the only one I wanted was the Dune bucket for the memes. That was the only one that I was like.
The Dune bucket, classic.
Yeah.
But the Galactus head, the light up, that was amazing. Did I get it? No, they sold out.
Right. The Grimoire, or what is it from the, I don't forgot what they, the Grimoire.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Still didn't get it. Like, I don't know. It takes a lot to get me to buy the bucket, the thing.
There
like
was a Ghostbuster,
you know,
one.
Like
it was an Ecto
and
one.
You didn't get it?
No.
Who are you?
I'm a fan, but I'm like, I'm not a big fan. But like
here's the thing, like what you think about like the other stuff that you could do with that money.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's the thing. Like you can't get me to fall for a blind box. You can't get me to fall for a Labubu. I don't own any Labubu products.
So
but
many.
Again, I think it might be, I think it just might be a generational thing. Yeah. You know, I lived through the Furby era.
The thing.
Oh, like, the Furbies!
And I lived through, you know, T.Y.
Yes.
Beanie Babies
yes.
at their height. So I've already done it. Like, I've already fallen for the grift
the
multiple
things,
times.
Exactly. The things that I want from Ghostbusters is what I got that was a lot of money that I couldn't get as a kid. Mm-hmm. I have a proton pack. I have a PK meter. I have a jumpsuit. I have the gear. mm-hmm. not some accessories. You know, I had right. the toys when I was a kid, but I was only able to get an action figure and maybe this, blah, 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 blah. But now mm-hmm. that I'm adult, I'm like, what I want? The proton pack. What's in the movie? I don't want some collectible souvenir thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, back then when we had McDonald's and we had Happy right. Meals, mm-hmm. that's what we wanted. We wanted the toy. We wanted the toy and the cereal. There's no toys and cereals anymore. So it's like...
Oh, you're right.
There's no toys and cereals anymore.
Is there? Or do we just all collectively stop buying cereal?
I don't buy cereal. I buy granola. Either.
Same.
I think that's the adult cereal.
I still buy Lucky Charms. So
I want to be so clear with you, Cosmo. I think you actually hit on something.
Ooh.
I think as a cosplayer and as a creator, I don't think we want the same stuff that like other consumers want anymore. Yeah. Because I think what we want is something elevated beyond like a cheap plastic popcorn bucket or like a figure. Like I love me some anime girl figures. I have many of them.
Yeah.
But like the thing is like they're all from like Figma or like Play Arts or like they're like very expensive. Yeah. You know,
I went from regular Toy Biz to Todd McFarlane action figures. So they're articulate. They look like they jumped right out of the comic
book.
You know? They're expensive, but they look amazing.
And then another thing is like we can make a lot of the things that we see and that we want. And the things that we see and that we want are like literal replicas of what we see on screen. It's just like, I want to have that. I want to wear it. I want to like live in this for like a little, like, you know, 5 minutes or like a convention day, you know, like, and I think that I don't think that we are the popcorn bucket.
We're not the audience.
We're not the audience for the popcorn bucket stuff because I think we're collectors, but we're very specific.
Very specific.
Very specific on what we want. Mm-hmm. And we're very specific on the details of the things that we get because it has to be perfect.
Right. Yeah. And it's not like I have friends that are in my age group. They want to collect everything that thing comes out with. So, like, for biggest things like Star Wars, I know somebody that has a huge collection of all the General Giant boosts and all the lightsabers and all the...
I'm going to be honest, that's giving Gen X behavior.
Oh. Right?
Not to be a jerk about it.
No, but I'm just like...
I'm like,
everything? Like, I love Star Trek. I love Star Wars.
Correct.
What do I want from Star Trek? A suit, a communicator, and a freaking tricorder. Well, I don't want the ships and like the action figures and the play sets and stuff like that. Like Star Wars. I love Star Wars. Do I want a lightsaber? Yes. Do I want all of them? No. I just want one lightsaber. Yeah. And if it's custom and not anybody's lightsaber, that's even better because this is my own lightsaber. But I'm not going to walk around with an Anakin Skywalker. That's like, it's just weird. You know, I find it trippy when people are like, go out their way, go to these cons, get the mystery box. I don't know what the hell's in it.
Correct.
And then get all this other stuff.
And just see, that's Gen Z behavior. Let me be very clear when I said Gen X behavior, it's because back in the day, they only made limited runs of certain products. Like Mattel only made like maybe 5 or 7 action figures from a film. Mm-hmm. And usually that would be the singular run, and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, you know, those are people who were kids in like the 70s and the 80s, and for a huge part of the 90s, like they didn't make all these different SKUs where it's just like, yes, get Han Solo in his 70 different outfits that he wore, and Padme in her like 500 different dresses.
Yep.
Like you need to collect every single one. They did have you need to collect every single one mentality, but every single one would be like 5 SKUs.
Yeah.
And it was easy.
It was so much
easier to complete your collection. Yeah. Nowadays, if you try and complete any collection from any given IP that has come out in the modern day, you would just be buying and buying and buying for the rest of your life.
There's that $5,000 or $500 Optimus Prime Transformer that transformed by voice command. Does it on its own. Does it itself. There's been 3 versions. One guy has all 3 of them.
Oh.
Plus all the other Autobots that they came out that does the same thing. They have a Megatron. They just came out with a Soundwave. I love Transformers. I only have the ones that I love. But there's so many different Transformers throughout the years. So it's so generational. Like, for instance, let's say, perfect example, Star Wars, your original first 3. You'll have stuff from them. Mm-hmm. That's great. And you're not particularly too much of a fan of the prequels or the new stuff. Mm-hmm. But then there's the fan that's like, I have original, I have prequel stuff, and now I have the new stuff. And then I have the shows. And then I have the this, because they keep on pumping out these things mm-hmm. like Disney, cash cow, and put out products out there that makes you want to get, because the people will buy that. And I just, I don't understand that. It's just, it's intriguing to me. I'm not putting down on anybody. I'm like, no, do what you want to do.
Of course not. But also these companies, like these studios, the products are the point.
Yeah,
the movie is not the point anymore.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The movie, like, making art isn't the point anymore.
Yeah.
There's like, I'm gonna butcher what was said, but like there is a saying of like, you know, if we, you know, we're going to make a movie, and you know, the point of the movie is to make money, and if we make art somewhere along the way, then good for us. And I think that was it wasn't Bob Iger, it was the other Bob, I think, said that. Or Iger's. No, it was Iger's boss, like, back in the day. Like, when Iger, like...
Left for a bit, right?
No, that's a different Bob.
Like, oh, really?
There was Iger. Uh-huh. There was Bob... Bob Chapek.
Okay.
Who we called Bob Paycheck.
Oh, no. Oh, that's too easy.
And he basically ran the company into the ground for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then Iger came back.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. To save it. But Ugh. It was
Ugh. Bob Paycheck.
Was it Eisner?
I think that sounds familiar.
It was whoever hired or promoted Bob. Bob Iger was the the chosen one to replace him.
Yeah, okay.
But that's the guy that said something along the lines of that, of just like, we're making a product, and if we make art along the way, that's great too.
Like,
and I feel like that's the mentality that is just pervasive now across studios and so the product seems to be the point, and that's why we have all of these little disposable plastic things. That's why at conventions, every single booth has a pop vinyl section in it, and it drives me absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm. When booths start to look the same.
I honestly think a lot of California, like SoCal conventions, personal, like, hot take, we're cooked.
Really?
We are cooked.
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten into like what makes us DeLulu. I think we're just kind of shooting the shit.
I mean, we're at 43.
No, this is great. Like, we just were like talking about Disney.
We could just do like show part one, show part two.
We'll have to do it to be continued.
I mean, we could totally bring you back if you.
Exactly. This was not what we were supposed to talk about today.
But honestly, you're so knowledgeable about it that I was just like, pop off.
Yeah.
This was not the discussion. We were supposed to be talking about like
video games
and Silent Hill.
That's the beauty of this show. Like, when I first came up with like doing a podcast, and I had no idea what I wanted it to be centered around, and then I thought about, because like I used to do podcasts like weekly, like I would jump from like show to show to show while I was on like magazine covers, doing modeling, like still doing like all the online content, but just anything to keep getting my name out there. But you would do these podcasts and they would ask you the same like 12 questions.
Yeah.
And so I got so good at interviewing on all these podcasts, because it's like, how did you get started? Well, I started when I was 10. I grew up in Minnesota. I don't want to like call out any of our guests, but you can always tell who does the podcast circuit and if they've been asked the questions, because they go into robot mode where they have the answer prepared and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So this is the beauty of the show, is that like I wanted to come up with it and like allow the guests to talk about like whatever's running wild on their mind. Because a lot of times what you find interesting, people won't ask you about. They're going to ask you about your career and cosplay and, you know, and you've got so many other interesting things. So.
I always ask my guests, I'm like, is there anything you want to talk about that we haven't touched? Open the door, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man. But do you have a 30-second DeLulu you want to end us with?
Oh, my God.
Merchandising.
Yeah, you went in, though. And I agree with everything you said.
No,
so.
I love that.
I guess it's not really a DeLulu. I guess it's more of like a call to action.
Okay.
For people.
Yeah.
And, you know, currently I'm doing a short film Yes, it's very exciting. I'm doing a short film. The star is actually the guy that plays Clark Kent's father. Like his Kansas father. Yeah,
I love him.
Mr. Kent. Yeah, he's great. And like, I don't know whether or not, like, we gotta get a little bit more comfortable, because I'm like, is it weird to say, like, I've been watching you since I was like single digits, you know, like single digits old.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want him to feel like ancient or anything. No. But anyway,
I feel old watching him. Like, I grew up with him, because like when I watched him in Superman, the recent one, right? Like,
correct.
I'm like, okay, he's old. But then I remember Constantine. I'm like, well, you were young. I'm like, how long ago that movie
Constantine,
came out? I'm like, damn.
Gothica.
Yeah.
Identity.
Identity. Don't even get me started on that movie. You have to watch Identity.
Okay,
you have to. Oh my God.
Like, and you just keep going down the list and you're like, God damn, like, he's old, but I'm also like, I'm getting old too. We're all getting old.
Yeah.
And I don't mind it. I think my best years are going to be in my old crone phase.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm ready to have a house in the woods with chicken legs on it. Like,
yes.
I'm very ready. Morgana and I are set.
Yes.
We have like the good witch, the evil witch, like
nice.
Light dark vibes
I love
going
that.
On. Yes, the goth did get the cheerleader in the end.
Yeah.
Yes,
exactly. We are every Yuri that has ever existed.
Oh.
It's just like, I'm like, people, it's true.
Oh my God,
I'm like,
awesome.
People, it's true.
That's awesome.
But my call to action is this. I've gotten to do a whole bunch of things that I didn't really expect that I'd be able to do, like, as an actor. Just doing this, like, SAG low-budget short film. And I've met so many amazing people that I plan to hopefully, you know, do more stuff with, like, our director is amazing. You know, our DP is so knowledgeable. We shot on actual film about two days ago, and it was my first time shooting on actual film, because in the movie there's a segment where there is a like a little canister of film, and they put it in a reel and stuff, and they have to watch like this old screen test. And so right now we're getting all of like the B-roll footage and stuff done that's necessary to actually like be props in the film.
Yeah.
And a lot of that involves my character, because it like the central mystery revolves around my character. And I don't want to give anything away, but so there's been a lot of preparations that we've been having to do. Like this weekend, I have like a photo shoot, because there's going to be like a photography segment. After we shot on film, I had to get a life cast of my head.
Yeah.
I've never done that before.
Ooh.
And they're like, so it's either going to be fine or you're going to freak out.
Yep.
And I'm like, cool.
I've been curious about that.
I
wanted to get one done.
It was fine,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Like, it got really heavy once they put, like, the cast material on top.
Yeah.
Because now they don't do the alginate anymore. Or at least mostly, like, the more modern way to do it now is a silicone. Like, one layer of silicone that is, like, easy to release from hair or any type of, like, you know, eyelashes, or, you know, you get to keep your eyebrows afterwards is what I'm saying.
Right.
So they put that layer on first. They bald capped me up too, so it wasn't a mess in my hair. So they put on that layer, and then they put on like the regular silicone on top of that. And then after that, they put on like the cast bandages material.
Oh, yeah.
So that you have a shell that is going to be able to hold the mold together. Like, it's the hard piece,
yeah.
The hard
the
piece
shell.
Of the mold. Yeah, it's the shell.
Yeah.
It's literally the shell. And that was the only part that I was like, oh, that's a little uncomfy, because it's heavy.
Yeah.
It gets heavy.
Yeah.
You know, because you've got a lot of layers on you. But once they crack you, like, they crack you open like an egg, and
mm-hmm.
they, you know, they pull it out. It's like a very, like, alien type of experience.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then they, like, pull it off of you, and you look inside, and you're like, I don't think I've ever... It's so weird to see your face in that way.
Yeah.
And I know, because they asked me, I'm definitely going to get a copy of my severed head.
Yes.
And they're like, I need a copy. And it's going to be so weird just having that around the house. Mm. But again, like, I doubt, like, I don't even know. We didn't even, like, go over, like, a dollar amount. Like, it's SAG ultra low budget. I'm like, I don't even know if I'm getting paid. I don't really care if I am. Because it's fun. And so the call to action is make things. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you have all of these companies that are, you know, trying to parade themselves as, you know, film, like, as, you know, people that make films and people that are making, you know, like, big, like, high art or whatever the hell it is, and all they do afterwards is just, like, buy the lunchbox, you know, the merchandise, yeah, like, the buy merch. The lunchbox, buy the action figure, buy the this and the that and the other thing. Mm-hmm. And it's very transparent mm-hmm. nowadays, yeah. like, what the grift is, and, like, we all know it, but I think just going through, like, watching the films and buying the things, and, like, for me, it's not fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Like, spiritually, as an artist, that's not fulfilling.
Yeah.
I think making things, and I think that's why a lot of people gravitate towards cosplay, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, makeup artistry and all sorts of things. It's like, we aren't, I don't think we're built to be consumers. Mm-hmm. Human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think we're built to be consumers. I think we are built to make art. I think we're built to be in community with one another. I think that making art with other people allows us to have that community. Mm-hmm. And at its heart, I think that filmmaking is that way, because it's a big collaborative, you know, experience. That even one piece falling apart, like costume, makeup, DP, mm-hmm. you know, sound, any one part of that falling apart causes the entire thing to collapse. And, you know, sometimes, you know, on set, I'm sure y'all have experienced having to, like, you know, wear multiple hats.
Yeah.
For sure, or a problem arises that you have to fix, like, in the last minute. But then at the end of the day, and if things go right, you're just, you know, take a deep breath and you're like, that was really rewarding.
Yeah.
And we all figured out the issues together.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, we have something in the can. We have a film, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, my big suggestion to people is just make things. You know, don't wait for giant multi-billion-dollar studios to do it for you.
Yeah.
You know, find your passion and your purpose in creating.
Yeah. Don't wait for permission.
Yep.
Correct.
Give yourself permission, you know?
Yeah.
We meet people all the time that you know, tell, I'm sure you do too, that, like, tell us, like, man, I wish I could do what you do. I wish I could create the things that you create. How are you so successful? And it's like, because we stopped waiting for permission. We stopped mm-hmm. waiting for someone else to pick us, and we picked us.
Yeah.
So that is such a great call to action.
Aww,
thank you.
That's a great way to end the episode. Do you do public speaking?
I
you really should more if you don't.
Do you? Probably in the break room where I work. Like I said, I really tried to be a voice for my department when we unionized. I'm not afraid to speak out and say, you know, the quiet part out loud. Yeah. Like, when things need to be said, like, I try my best to say them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially when it comes to fighting for, you know, what people want, people's dreams, it's like, I don't see a reason why not to try and be a voice of encouragement.
Yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of being a voice of encouragement, where can our listeners find you on social media?
Oh, my goodness. I haven't posted in a while. I should get on to that. I do post, I promise. The world's just been kind of cuckoo bananas lately, and mm-hmm. it seems a little, it's, you know, like, it just...
It feels weird to post in this timeline.
It feels weird to post something, you know, in this timeline. I have stuff. I do things. I swear to God. So you can find me at Genevieve Marie Cosplay anywhere. Genevieve Marie Cosplay. I think my Twitter is still up. I'm afraid to delete it. So, like, I don't want to lose the handle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm rarely there. I do, like, if you want to know where to buy, like, my shit, you can go to Twitter. But I'm mostly active on Instagram. And then that's it nowadays.
I feel that.
I don't know why. Well, I do know why. It is a bit of a slog.
Yeah. It just feels really weird posting right now.
I think I've also kind of buried myself in my work a bit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to me, putting up content isn't the same as creating. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know that's different for, I mean, there are people who are content creators. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's what they do. Like, they get on the mic, the little chinchilla microphone, and they hold it up and they like speak their mind.
Yep.
And, yes. And it's great. And that's just not.
Yeah.
What I do.
Yeah.
So like when I do post, it's like very curated and it's not stream of thought.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly intentional. Mm-hmm. And you can find that on Instagram.
There you go.
Nice. I also Twitch stream when I
three
can.
3 years ago?
3 years ago. don't. Listen, Pathologic 3 came out. We're fucking ready to go.
Yeah.
Logic 3.
We're ready to go.
We're already at 3?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there was one and it sucked.
Yeah.
Oh.
But for those who wanted to mine and dig, and that's what we were supposed to talk
about.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who wants
to explore.
To dig with the lore and like world building and character stuff, like. Well, the mechanics are ass. Play Pathologic 2 where it's good.
This is the thing. We just got to have you back again. And then we got to have you and Morgana back at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yes. Bring them both.
We'll be insufferable.
We haven't had a double in a minute.
Yeah.
We've only had a double twice.
Twice. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to do that.
Yeah.
Maybe when I tear down the set.
Gaze in the
over.
Canoe.
Yes.
Yes.
We've done Dude Lulu where I let Cosmo, Adam, and William...
We'd
all
like,
run an episode while I was in the next room, and I was like, please don't ruin it. Please don't F it up.
Would it be Les Lulu, I guess?
Yes!
Les Lulu! I like that.
It's happening. Yes, we're going to do it.
You don't have to take the first name that came out of my mouth.
No, honestly, we're taking it.
I like that.
All right, Cosmo, where can everybody check you out on social media?
You guys can find me on YouTube at the Cosmo Network from the Cosmo Show and Fan Film Reactions. We got more shows coming on the way. I cannot wait. It's going to be a Monday through Friday kind of thing. And then also on Instagram, you can find me at the Cosmo Network Instagram or Cosmo666. That's Cosmo with an E. And then TikTok.
Yep. Heck yeah. And you all know where you can find me, Dare Taylor Official, with the blue check mark on Instagram. If you tap that link in the bio, it's got all the places you can see me because I'm everywhere and nowhere. But thank you all so much for joining us. We're going to take this on over to Patreon because you all sent Genevieve some amazing questions.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to take this canoe on over to the Patreon stream. Come join us. Oh, and don't forget to stay DeLulu because it's the Salulu.
Okay, bye. Bye. We said nothing about being DeLulu today. just off the dome.
To be continued.
We'll chat off the dome.
We'll bring you back. We'll do a part 2.
Aye, aye, Captain.